I don't know if I would ever get tired of eating steak. You know, steak or pizza, I can probably go several days in a row if that's the only thing that was on the menu, honestly.
Well, it, I had my fill of it. You know, the last, I think it was the last day, last game maybe, they try to dress up the media meal up there and call it something that it's that's really not. So it's some kind of strange sausage, and you get there and it's actually a hot dog. And the last game, I think it was the last game, was Omaha Authentic Steak Burgers, which of course means which means hamburgers.
There you go.
So, but they were even trying to sell the steak steak thing till the last day. But
you know,
but I'm good to be back. I just did vacation, got another vacation after SEC Media Days, but in between the two, doing some baseball and of course some football next week.
Well, you know, tonight we get the All-Star game, and we go back. First of all, by the way, after Michigan won that game one on the Monday night against Vanderbilt, you know, and if I'm Vanderbilt, I'm making sure that all the players see the T-shirts for sale saying Michigan national champs on them. I'm making sure that everybody gets a load of that, because I don't think that, you know, words certainly mean a lot, but if you want a visual, and if you're Vanderbilt, I'm thinking on Tuesday before game two is ever played, you're seeing T-shirts that says Michigan national champs.
Well, but they do that in Omaha. The vendors do that, I guess, every year. Because I know in 2015 when I was there, I saw, and I even, maybe I jinxed it, but I even believe I tweeted out a photo of a Vandy 2015 national champion before that game. They sell them. They'll put them up at least before game three, and I guess they do – game two, they'll put up ones whoever won game one. But they put up both T-shirts, and I guess once it's over, the other half of those never see the light of day. But the Omaha vendors will, they will print out for both teams if you get to a game three. They had Michigan's, obviously, for game two. They want them ready, and they display them, and they sell some of them on the front end. I can't imagine buying a national championship T-shirt, though, if my team had not won it yet.
You know, historically, when we talk about Vanderbilt baseball, I mean, it still has some room to go to catch up with the likes of, say, a USC with 12 national titles. There's a lot of baseball programs that have been rich in tradition for several decades. But with that said, I mean, like tonight, with tonight's All-Star game, how about the fact that Vanderbilt has three former players, all starting pitchers? You've got Los Angeles Dodgers' Walker Buehler. You have Sonny Gray representing the National League All-Star team, who now plays for the Cincinnati Reds. And then there's Mike Minor, used to be with the Atlanta Braves, now with the Texas Rangers. I would love for Mike Minor to be back with the Atlanta Braves, but he's representing the American League tonight.
Yeah, I know. The Braves could use a little pitching right now. And once he got out of town, he really turned it on. Yeah, you know, with the program, comparing programs, you mentioned USC. I guess it's kind of the, you know, you can take this to any sport, especially in college. Would you rather be the traditional power, or would you rather be the best of, you know, kind of the current state, the last decade, which is what Vanderbilt is?
Or, hey, can you be greedy? Can you be greedy and be both?
You can be both. Yeah. Alabama is both.
There you go.
Right,
that's
now
where I was going with that. So, you know, there's...
But you know, there's ups and downs even with those. Go to the Mike Shula days at Alabama, and Alabama was the best traditionally, but they weren't the best of the moment. I think about if I fast forward Vandy maybe another 10 years, maybe till Tim Corbin is retired or whatever, maybe put them in kind of a Duke basketball phase. You know, UCLA is traditionally – the best, UCLA, North Carolina, whoever, maybe even Indiana to an extent there in basketball. But Duke, over the last, 20, 30 years, is the premier program, or one of the premier programs. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot Kentucky in there earlier. I don't want any emails. But, you know, when Coach K got there, Duke became not a all-time traditional power, but certainly – a blue blood of the past two or three decades. Well, that's what Vandy can be. They're not the best program of the last 50 years, but they can be the best program over a decade or two. And, you know, the big question, obviously, well, when Tim Corbin retires, can they continue that? By the way, Eric Backich, the Michigan coach, if nobody really was convinced otherwise, they have to be now that when Tim Corbin does decide to retire, your first phone call may be up to Michigan or wherever Backich is at the time.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You know, everybody used to say that about Dabo Swinney as head coach of Clemson, that is, whenever that, you know, Nick Saban retires, that Dabo Swinney will be the next head coach at Alabama. But that was until he won his second national title. And then it's like, well, why bother making that move? The other part of that equation, too, when we think about, you know, national titles, I go back to, say, we look at, you know, it was great that the Buffalo Bills, you know, in the 90s made four straight Super Bowls. Didn't win one, but at least they made four straight. And, you know, that's an accomplishment in itself, but we look at it differently in the sense they didn't get at least one. Same thing applies to the Minnesota Vikings, you know, great franchise, especially late 60s throughout the 70s, made it two Super Bowls, couldn't win one. The Atlanta Braves, you know, when we think about modern baseball, 14 straight division titles, well, you know, at least they got one World Series, but I think we would look at them differently if they were able to put another one, a little notch in the belt, per se. This is what I'm getting at is when we look at Vanderbilt, great that they won the national championship in 2014, but when you win a second one in a six-year period of time, it's a different chapter being written then. You know, one, you can go, well, it's just one of those seasons, everything fell into place, and we were able to pull it off. But when you got two, that's not an accident.
Yeah, Vandy's now won something like, what, three-quarters of their games in Omaha all time. They're better in Omaha than just about than anywhere else on earth aside from Hawkins Field. You know, it does say something that they've won two. I think it said quite a bit that they got to a third to begin with. You know, I'll take your point there that the only reason we know that the Buffalo Bills, lost four in a row is because they lost four in a row. Had they just lost one or two, we wouldn't even remember who the loser of the Super Bowl was. Same with the Braves. The difference in the Braves is they won one. Your losses are magnified in a good way if you have a win to go with it. So the 2015 season where Vandy finished runner-up, I think historically looks better now because you won one in 2019. So now instead of saying, well, they won one and then they lost the next one, it's, hey, they've been there three times. They won two of the three. They got there three times. It puts actually a positive spin on even the loss in 2015. And, you know, it'll put a little different spin on next year. I've got a story up on Tennessean.com right now about who they're bringing back. You know, they're going to replace almost their whole lineup and part of their pitching rotation, and they're probably still going to be top five in the preseason because of the respect that people have for the talent that they bring in and, you know, just the notion that people pretty much expect them to reload rather than rebuild, and I think that's probably accurate for who they still have on the roster.
Let's turn attention to Vanderbilt football. Certainly things will start gearing up beginning next week with the SEC Media Days down in Hoover. But when we look at Vanderbilt, you know, when you see how Vanderbilt ranked as far as the Big Four on offense and defense, you know, the kind of numbers as far as ranking that we saw on offense are kind of numbers that we would anticipate being on the defensive side. You know, for Vanderbilt, if Vanderbilt, you know, could be Vanderbilt on defense 2 years ago, 3 years ago, instead of being in double digits in the key categories from last year's team, then, you know, how many wins could we have been talking about last year for Vanderbilt? Certainly one of the areas I'm looking to see improvement. And the other part is how they utilize Keyshawn Vaughn, and as far as and maybe the big part of that is, you know, making sure not over-utilizing him per se.
Yeah, I think on the Keyshawn Vaughn part, it's gonna really put a magnifying glass on, number one, Jerry Godowsky, the play caller, the new offensive coordinator, and two, the quarterback, whether that's Riley Neal or Deuce Wallace, because If things go well, then they're going to be getting the ball to Keyshawn Vaughn, Kalijah Lipscomb, Jared Pinkney, three all-SEC skill guys, all on one offense, something Vandy has not had before in one team. If it goes poorly, no blame is going to go on those three guys. It's going to be, well, why can't that play caller get the ball to those three guys? They're as good as anybody on the opponent's on the opponent's roster, you're failing by not getting them the ball. The blame will go on the quarterback. Why can't you get the ball out of your hands and to Lipscomb and to Pinckney? Why can't you, audible for check off from a pass to a run to get the ball to Keyshawn Vaughn like Kyle Shurmur did? It sets up a couple of interesting paths of where the season's going to go, because you absolutely know that you have skill guys that can do something with the ball. You just got to get it to them, and whether they can or not, I think it's pretty questionable until they get into the season and figure out who their quarterback is.
Well, and plus we're talking about some new faces on the offensive line as well, so it's great that you the players that you threw out there as far as Vaughn and Lipscomb and certainly Pinckney as well, but it's still also, you know, I'm curious to see how quickly the offensive line gels as well.
Yeah, and mobility will be mobility is going to be important there. Deuce Wallace we know can run. Riley Neal was a good red zone runner at Ball State. He didn't run a whole lot. Doesn't see himself as a dual threat guy. He's a kind of a taller, lankier frame, a more of a pocket passer. But he had 20-something touchdowns rushing because he could run the ball inside the 10 at Ball State. I did find it interesting that in spring practice, Derek Mason was asked that about Riley Neal's runner, and he said, yeah, in the MAC, he could run some, but here the defenders are a little faster. That guy coming off the edge is a little quicker, and he was getting caught more in practice by SEC defenders. I'll be interested to see how much running plays into the play calling and how much running determines who the play caller is going to be, who the quarterback is going to be, because I honestly think it's up in the air between those two guys. I don't think they go into preseason camp just with lip service saying it's an open competition. I think it is. And by the way, we'll see how practice goes. But I tend to think Derek Mason has to forget about the criticism of 2014 and be open to playing both quarterbacks. I'm not saying that's what he should do, because it depends on how practice goes, and he'll see that long before you and I will see that. But I think there is a part of a lot of coaches that could remember 2014 and how much he was criticized for having that quarterback carousel, which in retrospect, well, even at the time, we knew was a big mistake. Couldn't settle on a quarterback or even two quarterbacks.
Or four, if you want to count that first game.
Or four, yeah. But this is a new situation, and the smart thing may be to play both of them. And if that happens, I don't think people should jump all over him right off the bat and say, oh, you're doing it again. Because it was a bad decision in that situation. It may be a good decision in this situation.
Well, you go back to, say, Alabama in 2011, A.J. McCarron, who went on to, you know, back-to-back national titles for the Crimson Tide and had Alabama in place to make it in a position to win three straight until the kick six against Auburn. But remember, he wasn't named the starting quarterback out of week. I mean, he was having to share duties early on before he won that job in 2011. So I don't have a problem if you've got two guys and one doesn't outright win the job in August. But here's the thing. If someone actually does outperform the other, I don't want to see a quick move early on. Now, if you want to get a guy, you know, a couple of opportunities as far as drives, that's one thing. I don't know what kind of opportunities you're going to have against Georgia, because to me, we're talking about a team that is in position to play for a national title on paper when we look at the potential teams that are out there this year that could be that team at the end of the season. But at the same time, I don't have a problem if you want to get some experience for the two guys that could be in that position.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Georgia, because I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see if they do both play. Let's say, you know, Georgia will come in a heavy favorite. And, you know, Vandy has kept that game close before. They could do it again. But let's say Vandy goes down by, you know, three touchdowns or whatever the second half. Maybe that's a situation where whoever started then goes to the bench and the other guy finishes out the fourth quarter or whatever. They play well against Georgia's number three, their third string defense. Then people are starting to clamor for, oh, well, you should have started that other guy. Look how good he was in the fourth quarter. That's a different point of the game. I guess my larger point is there's some hard decisions ahead for this coaching staff, And I don't know that they're going to have the right answer, the smartest answer, the most well-informed answer before they play Georgia. And they may not have it for three or four games into the season. After Georgia, you got to go at Purdue, which is a bowl team, and then you've got to play LSU.
Well, and you're right, not just a bowl team, not just a bowl team, a very angry bowl team that last time out got embarrassed by an SEC team. Now, I know Vanderbilt and Auburn, different situations, but the bottom line is Purdue at home, knowing that they're going to be facing a non-conference matchup with an SEC team, they're going to be highly motivated.
Yeah, and they'll also be able to put up points. That offense, especially in what year two in that offense, they're going to be able to put up points, and so Vandy will be put on notice that you can't win this game 17-10. You've got to get Vaughn the ball, get Pinkney the ball, and get Lipscomb the ball. And again, that goes down to the quarterback that can get the ball to them the most efficiently. But you know, with those three opponents, especially Georgia, Purdue, LSU, it's really going to come down to the old coach's cliche: whoever makes the least mistakes. Whoever can get them into the right play and not turn it over and just move the offense and get the ball out of their hands quickly, that's going to be the one who's going to play quarterback. It's not the one that can throw for a ton of yards but also throw some interceptions. It's going to be the one that can just keep things clean. And, you know, I honestly don't know which one that is, because you can make a case that Riley Neal would be better equipped to do that, because he started 30-plus games in college, some of them against Big Ten teams at Ball State. On the other hand, you could say Deuce Wallace is the guy that was recruited to an SEC team, has spent his whole time in this offense, will know what he's doing more, and has played a little bit in the SEC already. So I'm not sure which one fits that bill. Right, we're probably not going to know, and I don't think the coaches are going to know until they take the meaningful snaps in September.